Great. Good. Cool. Okay, awesome. Good. Well, final morning. I hope you're doing good. And it has been an absolute privilege to be with you this week. So thank you for welcoming me and making me feel at home and laughing at my jokes and such other things. You particularly enjoyed the a few last night, didn't you, Dan? Sorry, Ethan, because you were kind of the end of those jokes. We love you. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to say, I think, you know, here at Letton, you have absolutely phenomenal leaders. You know, the people who've been leading you this week, the people who've been gathering you in your Letton groups and doing the Letton lounge and the Letton other Letton-based things. Everything starts with Letton. I love that. I just can't remember all the things. I think it would just be awesome if we just give them a massive round of applause and a thank you. Because they are phenomenal people. And they've given up their time to be with you and invest in you and help you. And that is, getting people like that in your life is the kind of people that we were on about last night, about people that help us grow and develop and go on a journey of transformation. So we've talked about the fact that transformation is Jesus-centered. Transformation can happen in a moment, but on the whole is usually a process that we need to commit to and journey with the right attitude, the right spirit, and that's so, so important. But transformation is not just for us. Our transformation, what God does in us, is not just for us. What if we can believe for just a moment that actually in our generation, I include myself with you, that actually in our generation, the people that we go to school with, the people that are in our towns, our cities, wherever we find ourselves, village outside Peterborough, whatever it is you live in, hamlet, farm, metropolis, whatever you want to call it, that actually what if those people that are there, those people in your generation, what if they came to know Jesus? What if they were transformed by Jesus? What if their lives were flipped upside down by Jesus? What if Jesus was the center of their lives? Can we believe for that? Can we dream for that? Can we begin to imagine what our schools would look like, what our colleges would look like, what our social media would look like, what these environments would be, not just to necessarily be more positive, but actually shaping society positively, seeing impact upon impact, seeing many people's lives changed and transformed by God. How awesome would that be? That actually that our transformation doesn't just stay in us, but that we believe for it to happen in the lives of other people. And not just that we believe, but we begin to live it out. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And one tool I want to give us this morning, you can come and get these at the end from down the front. It's just this little bookmark. I thought I had some like business card sized ones, but I just had these. And one thing we as Hope are doing with a bunch of other organizations, including people around the world now, we just got like this big denomination, India, on board with it. It's big, like the equivalent of the Church of England in India, kind of rang us up and said, we'd love to be involved with that. It's basically in 2020, there's a bunch of people believing, what if our nation could be transformed by God? What if many people could come to know Jesus? What if? And so we said, well, what if we get praying around that? So this is super cheesy, okay? Super cheesy, so like, I'm not even going to try and hide that, but it's simple and you'll easily remember it. It's basically, I want to invite us all to pray on the 20th day of each month in 2020 at 20 past 8 at night for 20 minutes. So it's like 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. And pray for our friends, our city, our nation, our school, anybody that we know to come to know Jesus. It says in Colossians 4, it talks about hearts being open, doors being open to God. So what if we believe for that? That can be your transformational prayer for 2020. And if you like, I want to start that now, start it now. Go for it before it's even 2020. But you could grab one of those at the end, and that'll remind you of that. To keep dreaming big, for believing for what God can do, as he could transform many, many people's lives. How cool would that be? But it starts with us. This is what it says in Philippians 2, verse 15, and we're going to look at a few verses from the end of Philippians 2 this morning. So that no one will criticize you. It's going to be on the screen. Oh, we're out to get the PowerPoint up. Great, thanks. Philippians 2, 15, in the New Living Translation, it says this. So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright Shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And the key thing we're going to look at this morning is shining bright. What does it look like to be this light to other people? What does it look like to be this example to other people? See, we have something to share. God is doing something in us, and we have that to share with others. To bring something out of our lives of what Jesus is doing in our lives and seeing other people connect with him. There is something that we carry. It's who we were created to be. And hopefully we've got a video now. And so Paul, who I showed you a video of the other night, who did the spoken word, this is another way of saying that, of what it is to live this life that brings transformation to others. Fix your eyes on the screen. Awesome. And so when we think about this, what does it look like? What does it look like to bring transformation? If this is who God's created us to be, not us to be people that are changed by him, but we bring transformation wherever we go. You know, I think about the story of two guys, Peter and John, and you may know the story. It's in Acts 3. And as they're walking to the temple, as they're walking to church, to a gathering that they're going to have in the temple, they go past this guy who's begging on the floor. And the guy says, "Have you got any money?" And Peter and John says, "We don't have money. We don't have that. But what we do have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And because this man was lame, that was why he was begging. And he got to his feet. A miracle happened. His legs locked together and he was able to walk. And he went off into the temple, into where they were heading. It says, walking and leaping and praising God in my Bible. And he goes off. And so they've just seen this amazing thing. Their natural response to this guy was, actually, we don't have what you are asking for. We have something way more. You see, we've got to understand what we're carrying. And this is what we first see in their story, is that they were something. It wasn't they were doing something. It was that they are something, that they were carrying something. They were being something. Something of these light bearers, these light carriers. Something is displayed through their lives. And then what happened later on was that as this guy went into the temple, it caused such a ruckus, such a... Everyone's like, "That's that guy who used to beg, he used to be lame, he didn't used to be able to walk," and all that. Then some of the religious leaders that we heard about the other night, some of the people that Saul was like previously, became Paul, who wrote Philippians that we've been looking at. They grabbed Peter and John, basically semi-arrested them, put them in front of this court, and they basically put them on trial, which was probably going to lead to them being killed, because allegedly they were kind of going against the how they believed God was and what God was doing, and they were doing these things in the name of Jesus, and they didn't like that. But then there's this moment, they're in the middle of this trial, they're interrogating them, and this is what kind of happens, and it's going to be on the screen. Acts 4, verse 13. "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures." That was like the Old Testament part of the Bible they were referring to at that point. "They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." As men who had been with Jesus. When we walk into our schools, when we walk into our college, when we're on our social media, when we're on our street, when we're with our family, when we're with our friends, do people see that we have been with Jesus? And when it says been, it means that there is something different about them. It means that something has changed in them. Something has been transformed. There is this evidence in their lives that they have been with Jesus. Why did they heal that man? Because they'd been with Jesus. Why did they do so many other things in life? Because they had been with Jesus. Because Jesus had done something in them. And it says this in Philippians 2:15, second part of it. It says, "Our character allows us to shine like stars in a crooked generation." Shine like stars. It's our character. It's the thing that God is doing in us. It's how God is transforming us further. It says in Matthew that in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. There is something in us that shines out. There is something that we carry of God's light, love, and life. And when we walk into places and spaces, and are, that includes also on our social media and on the internet, that are dark, we bring the light, love, and life of God to every dark space and dark place. Maybe you feel like, I'm not fully finished, I'm not fully sorted. What it talks about in Corinthians that Paul writes in another place, he says that we're like cracked pots that God has kind of put back together, that God is molding to be greater, to be more like him, but it actually says that the light that he has put in us, it shines out through the cracks. So actually, you're like, well, I'm not the finished article yet. Hello, we're all on that journey. You just all looked up. But actually, that light shines through. So that's not us going, hey, it's all right, I can just keep living the life I've been living. It's all right, I'll just keep doing the things I've been doing. I won't be keeping transformed by God. No, it's not that. It's a continual transformation with God, and along the way of that process, his light shines out for us, even in our brokenness, even in the things that we have got wrong. And so we get to bring his light, love, and life to every dark space and dark place. We get to carry something of that. As Peter and John encountered that man, they were like stars shining before all. Not just to that man, they brought him life, and he experienced something of the life of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. But to all those other people, it showed, it brought light and love to a dark space and a dark place, showing them what Jesus can do, what Jesus is about. And so we need to understand that as we bring transformation, right? Well, that's not another thing to do. It's about who we are and who God's transforming us to be. It's also recognition of what we carry, that we carry this light. We carry something of God's light, love, and life in our lives as he's transforming us. But then also we get to speak a light-giving message. It says in Philippians 2 a bit later on, in verse 15 and 16, a bit later on in verse 15, it says, go out into all the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and the living of God. Here we go. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. Carry a light-giving message. We are to bring God's light, love, and life to every dark space and dark place. But it's not just about us being there. It's actually about us also being able to speak up and bring a message. There is a message that God is giving us to bring. And as we share that message, we will see people become further transformed. Because actually, in that guy's life who was lame, who they transformed, there was a physical transformation. But then there's also another part of that process of actually speaking that message to him and him understanding that and living that out. It wasn't just a case of they touched him and he got up. There was a speaking of who Jesus is, what he was going to do in his life. And so one way of looking at that is a guy called Luke writes in Acts 1 verse 8 before that. He says that we are to be witnesses. Sorry, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses, what's that? Well, it's showing and sharing the love of God. So in that moment, they showed and shared. They used words and actions in that moment. That guy experienced something. And so in our schools and our colleges and wherever on our social media, wherever we find ourselves, it's about us not just showing God's love, but it's about sharing it too. Because that's bringing transformation to others. We share something of what God has done in our lives, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. The best place to start is always what God has done in your life, your story. People can't argue with your story. Some try. That's just basically like the coin, you're a liar. But a lot of people won't argue with your story about what God has done in your life. And then from there, you can take them on a journey to be further transformed. And it says, but my Holy Spirit is upon you. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us. That maybe some of us, that is scary. Oh, Dan, I'm not sure about bringing transformation to my school, bringing what God is doing in me out into those spaces. I'm scared. I don't know how to do it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And it lists different places here. Well, quite simply, we don't live in any of those places. But for them, Jerusalem was like a familiar place that they knew well. So what's your familiar place? Is that your group of friends? Is that your school? And then there was a few places like Judea and Samaria that didn't really like, and they were a bit unfamiliar to them. Maybe that's other people in your school, other people across the other side of a town. And then he's saying, Jesus is saying to a group of people here that don't have aeroplanes, go to the ends of the earth on horses, basically. Well, to us, what is the impossible? What is seemingly impossible to us, the place that we don't feel like we can go? Or we're not sure God can, you know, what might be that? Well, we can believe together for what God can do in the impossible places as we seek to bring his transformation into those spaces and places. One great resource to help you in this and to think about what it is to show and share God's love, what it is to speak and bring transformation to people as we speak that light-giving message, is called Mission Academy Live. So I just want to show you a quick video and you can get a flyer at the end. Some of you have used it. Awesome. So me and a few friends produced that a couple of years ago. You can come and get one of these flyers at the end if you want to do that down here in the box for your youth group. And some of you have already done it. You might want to do it again. You might want to do it with a new group of friends. You might want to lead it together. But it's 10 free video sessions that will help you think about how you share your faith with others. Does that sound good? It's free? Great. I'll finish with this. God is not transforming us just for our own benefit. God is not taking us on a journey of transformation just for our own benefit. He is calling us to bring that transformation to others, to help others experience his transformation. And that isn't about when you get a microphone and you share from stage that one night at youth, but it's about in our everyday. And I chat about this stuff all over the country and all over different places to different people, but sometimes I am surprised at the opportunities God gives me on my doorstep like I wasn't expecting it. A few months ago, I made a schoolboy error and I forgot to buy milk. I'm a cereal person in the morning. So it was the morning, I didn't have any milk. That's not a great experience when you open the fridge. Maybe for some of you it's like, there's always milk. It's because your mum put it there. And as I went round to the shop, partly in my pajamas, I was fully dressed, but it was like what those items of clothing were was a mystery to me at that point as well. And as I got to the shop, and I'm buying my milk, got the milk, put it on the counter, I'm half awake, so I've only been up for a bit, and I'm talking to the lady in the shop. I know her quite well, called Kath. We've had a few good conversations. She knows I'm a Christian, knows I go to church. I think I saw her the first day I moved onto the estate, and just chatting to her, and I said, how are you doing? How's life? And she said, I've got this really, really bad back problem. She talked about how her spine was crumbling. And I was just like, oh, really sorry to hear that. And I'm like, I've got my milk, I'm off, you know. And I just really felt like some people got a quickening of his spirit, or like I just sensed God wanted me to pray for her, wanted me to pray for Kath then and there. And I thought, no, I want cereal. Maybe tomorrow, Jesus. You don't understand. God, you can't use me until I've had my Frosties, yeah? Frosties, then the filling of the Holy Spirit, no. And so I was just like, so I was having this conversation with God in my head as I'm trying to talk to Kath, and I was just like, oh, what if she thinks this, what if she thinks that? I might not be able to go back into the shop ever again because she'll just be like, no, don't be pushing that Christian stuff on me or whatever. Anyway, so I decided, right, I'm going to do it. Seems like God. So I said to Kath, I said, well, you know I'm a Christian, so I did a bit of a pre-log, you know what I'm saying, a bit of an intro. Didn't just go, can I pray for you? Woo, you know. No weird stuff, yeah? Keep it simple. And so I reminded her I was a Christian, and I believe God can heal your back and so on and so forth. I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, yes, please. So I was like, okay, winner. Now, when you pray for someone, I would always encourage us to keep our eyes open when we're praying for someone for healing. But generally, when you say to someone, let's pray, because most of us went to school in England, that means bow your head and close your eyes, right? Like, that's what we were taught in school. Even if you've not been church, you know, people generally know that. Kath clearly didn't go to school in England. And as I prayed for her, I said, do you mind if I put my hand on your back? And And she's over the other side of the counter, so I don't have super long arms, but I was there. And so I was keeping my eyes open, looking at her. Well, the whole time that I was praying for her, she was staring right at me. Not in like a bad way, but it was just kind of a bit awkward. And so as I was praying for her, we're praying, and I just said a really simple prayer. Thank God for her. Ask the Holy Spirit to heal her back. It was very, very simple. And just as I was about to finish, tears began to roll down her face. And I thought, oh, God's doing something for definite here. And I finished, and I said, I really hope God begins to do something in your back. And she said to me, she said, no one has ever done that for me before. I'm in my 50s, and no one has ever done that for me before. And I just thought, wow. Like, there is a power in praying for someone. God wants to do new things every day in different people's lives. And you know what? God didn't heal her back in that moment, but he began a new healing in her of something else, of something greater, I believe. And the conversations we have had since then to be able to pray for other members of her family. Her daughter works at a shop. Her daughter was then having this operation. We were all praying together, and all sorts of cool things were happening. But there is people out there who are going to turn around and say, yes, please. But we won't know if they'll say yes, please, unless we offer. And so it's actually about an awareness of being ready to bring that transformation to other people. Philippians 2 is all about following the model of Jesus, having that right attitude, keeping him at the center, allowing him to continually transform us so that then we too can bring transformation to others. Why don't we stand if you're able? And the band are going to help us out. And what we're going to do is, in just a moment, is we're going to commission each other. And commission each other to bring transformation wherever we go. And so just as Dan begins to play and the band begin to play, and then we're just going to sing one big final song. Shh. I'm just going to read this last portion of Philippians 2 over as a commission. So why don't you just close your eyes where you are, and then we're going to pair up and pray for each other. So just close your eyes so you're not distracted and just receive this. Go out into all the world, uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and living for God. Carry this light-giving message into the night, into the world. So I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go up to all this work for nothing. Carry this light-giving message. Carry this transformation. That's what we want to speak over you this morning. That's your commission. That's your release. So let's pray for each other. So I want you to pair up. Find someone from another youth group, maybe. And you're going to pray a simple commissioning prayer over them, saying, Holy Spirit, will you fill this person? Will you empower this person to bring transformation wherever they go? If you don't know the words, just use that. Something simple. Keep it simple. In pairs, maybe someone from another youth group. Go for it. Start praying. If you haven't started praying for the other person yet, do start doing that. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill us all up to overflowing right now. Empower us and equip us. Transform us further even today. But continue to transform us as we head home. Continue to transform us to be more like you. And remind us daily to bring that transformation to others. Help it to be in us and overflow from inside of us. Being that light to others. Bringing that light-giving message and seeing people's lives transformed by you. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one final praise song, and then Matt's going to tell us something next. So why don't we jump to our feet?